We're in 2 Timothy 1, if you'd like to turn in your Bibles, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul here is commending a man named Onesiphorus. I had to practice that one. Onesiphorus. And Onesiphorus actually ends up being a great example to us as Christians of being what he referred to as a refreshing Christian, which is what God wants us all to be, is a Christian that refreshes other Christians. And so we're going to focus on that today. Beginning in verse 15 of 2 Timothy 1, he said, "This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phrygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord granted to him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well." So the refreshing Christian is what we'll be talking about today. Let's go to the Lord. Lord, we love you so much and we thank you for your word. Lord, that we can all open it together and hear from the Holy Spirit. We pray that the power of it would penetrate our hearts today and speak to us in a powerful way. We pray, Lord, that you'd be glorified. And Lord, that you would guide us in your perfect truth. We are so grateful for this opportunity and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, Paul, in his ministry, he didn't do his ministry alone. He had traveling companions, and sometimes some would abandon him. Other times others would join in to help out. And then he had people like Timothy, who he took under his wing and trained in the ministry. But Paul always had an entourage of people with him as he traveled. Sometimes even when he was put into prison, he wasn't put in alone necessarily. And here we see in verse 15, he mentions Phrygellus and Hermogenes. It says, they turned away from me. So here he had lost some traveling companions, these two. And you know, often when we set out to serve the Lord, sometimes there are those who will abandon us. There will be those who will turn away. And we have to stand alone sometimes. Look at Daniel. He was in the lion's den alone, wasn't he? And look at Noah. Preaching for decades. He was alone. Just had his family when he went into the ark. And this happened many times in Paul's ministry. If you look, go to chapter 4, verse 10, we'll see another man named Demas who did the same. Chapter 4, verse 10 here. He says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." So even another man, Demas, forsook Paul, fell back in love with the world. These two men turned away from Paul. But now he's going to talk about this man, Onesiphorus, who did the opposite. He actually was a refreshing Christian. He actually sought Paul out and was a blessing to Paul whenever he could be and was therefore a great example to you and to me. In verse 16, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me." So it wasn't just once. He said he often came and refreshed me. And we're going to see what means this morning as we walk through the passage. And this man had a family. If you go to chapter 4 again, verse 19 of 2 Timothy, it says, "Salute Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus." So he had a household. He had a wife and children. And yet he still did his best to look for opportunities, as it says here, to refresh the Apostle Paul in his ministry. Oftentimes, he was in jail. Oftentimes, he was on the run. But Onesiphorus would seek him out and be a refreshment to the Apostle Paul. There were others who had done the same. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, he talks about Stephanus and Fortunatus and Achaicus, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 17. He says here, "I am glad of the coming of Stephanus and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such." So again, pointing out these other three Christians for what? Refreshing his spirit. And then if you go to Philemon in verse 7, the book just before Hebrews, right after Titus, Philemon verse 7, Paul writing the letter to this man named Philemon, who also was a refreshing Christian. Notice verse 7, "For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother." So here we have at least five Christians that Paul pointed out by name that he referred to as Christians that were refreshing Christians. And God wants this from all of us. You know, Jesus said in John 13, "A new commandment I give unto you, that love one another as I have loved you." We're to love one another as Christ loves us. And as we all know, love is action. Love is what we do. And God wants us to be that refreshing Christian. So let's see what that means. Verse 16 of our passage, 2 Timothy 1. "He was not ashamed of my chain." So in this particular instance, Paul was obviously in jail again. Paul spent a lot of time in jail for preaching the gospel. And he says, "He was not ashamed of my chain." Many would have been ashamed to visit Paul while he was in jail or in prison, but not Onesiphorus. He was not ashamed. And you know, a refreshing Christian is not ashamed of our shortcomings, because we all have some, don't we? A refreshing Christian recognizes that we all have weaknesses, we all have problems, and is willing to overlook those things and love us anyway, which is what a true friend does, isn't it? Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loveth at all times, not just when things are good, but sometimes when we might have a chain. They love us anyway. They're not ashamed of us." As Paul said, if you go to 2 Timothy 1, verse 8, it says here, "Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner." So most of us are very familiar with that first bit. Don't be ashamed of the testimony. But Paul said, and also, don't be ashamed of me, God's prisoner. And a refreshing Christian is not ashamed of their friends when they make a mistake, when they have a chain, when they have something wrong. We're commanded in scriptures to be what? Forbearing of one another. If you want to put it in modern terms, it means put up with one another. Because we all have weaknesses. We all have flaws. And we should never, ever be ashamed of one another. There were two people, if you go to Romans 16:7, that were so unashamed of Paul's chain that they were willing to be in jail with him. Notice Romans chapter 16, verse 7. "Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, and my fellow prisoners." So these were people that were in jail with Paul. Obviously, they were traveling, and when he got arrested, they arrested the group. And these were his fellow prisoners. And so the first thing we see, if we're going to be a refreshing Christian, is we're not going to be ashamed of our brother or sister. When they make a mistake, we're going to love them. Now, they might need some edification, some admonition, but we're not going to turn our back on them. We're going to not be ashamed. And that's the first thing we see. You know, the Bible says, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice," Romans 12:15, and what? "Weep with them that weep." That's called empathy. And when our friend has something go wrong, we need to have empathy and love them anyway, not be ashamed. And that's the first thing we see about a refreshing Christian. The second thing we see, if you go to verse 17 of our passage, 2 Timothy 1, it says, "When he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me." The second thing we see of a refreshing Christian is they seek us out. And they don't wait for us to go to them. They seek us out. They look to try to find us and be a blessing to us whenever possible. And there were people like this in Paul's life. If you go to Romans 16 again, this time in verse 3, he again talks about Priscilla and Aquila, this couple. And notice he says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their necks." In other words, they actually put their lives in jeopardy for me. I would call that seeking out very diligently, wouldn't you? And if you go to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, the Bible says that when our brother or sister stumbles and falls, what should be our reaction? It should be to seek them out and to help them, to try to restore them. Notice Galatians 6 verse 1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Yes, we're commanded to make sure that our hearts are right first. That's why he says, "ye which are spiritual." But we're to seek them out and try to restore them. We're to, if they fall in a way, we go after them. We do our best to restore them to the faith. If you go to Philippians 2, verse 3, using Jesus as an example, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, Paul says, "And let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." Verse 4, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." It says, what? Look every man also on the things of others. Be looking out for others. He said that Onesiphorus had not only not been ashamed of his chain, but it says he sought me out very diligently. He did his best to find me. When I was in Rome, usually when Paul was in Rome, he was in jail. He sought me out very diligently and he found me. He kept looking until he found me. And you know, that's what we need to do if we're going to be a refreshing Christian, is seek them out and find them when they have fallen away. Then verse 18 of our passage, not only does a refreshing Christian not ashamed of our weaknesses, they love at all times. Not only do they seek us out, but this is the main point, they minister to us. Notice it says, verse 18, "The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well." He's writing to Timothy, his preacher boy, that he installed as the pastor at Ephesus. He says, "Even you, Timothy, have seen what a blessing Onesiphorus has been to me. That he sought me out, that he wasn't ashamed of my chain, and that he ministered unto me in what? Many things. He did his best to be a blessing to me." And this is what God wants from all of us. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 25. It's talking about the body of Christ here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25. And we're very familiar with, he talks about we're all different parts of the body. But in verse 25, it says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. That's one of our missions as part of the body of Christ, is to care one for another, to minister one to another. Jesus said, "He that is greatest among you shall be your servant," or your minister. And then Philippians 2 again, if you would, verse 25 this time. Another person, Paul is calling out by name, this time Epaphroditus. Philippians 2:25. Look what it says. "Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants." He ministered to me. Another person, Epaphroditus, he ministered to my wants. That's what we're commanded to be as Christians, ministers to one another. 2 Corinthians 8, he refers to Titus as a fellow helper, another person he called out by name. And then if you would look at Hebrews 6, verse 10, God here reminding us that one of our duties as Christian brothers and sisters is to minister to one another. That is what a refreshing Christian does. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. That's a command. 1 Peter 4, let's look at another one. 1 Peter 4, verse 10. You know, the good news about pointing out names is Paul pointed out people specifically for positives more than negatives. And that's a good thing. Yes, there were a few that abandoned him, a few that even attacked him. But there are so many names that he called out for being a blessing to him and a help to his ministry. 1 Peter 4:10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth. Now, we've all received a gift or two or three. We don't know how many each Christian has, but we should know what our gifts are. And God says we're to what? Put them into practice. That's what it says, right? As you've received it, minister the same one to another. Put it to use, being a blessing. If you look at the gifts and what they are, their purpose is to minister to others. Their purpose isn't to glorify self or to make yourself a better person. Their purpose is to minister and be a blessing and to love others. That's why God gives them to us. And that's what a refreshing Christian does. A refreshing Christian, and we've already seen many people, Aquila, Priscilla, and Epaphroditus, and in this specific case, Onesiphorus. A refreshing Christian, not ashamed of our shortcomings. A friend loveth at all times, Proverbs 27:17. They seek us out. If we begin to wander, if we've maybe stumbled into some sin, they don't run away. They seek us out. And they minister to us. Jesus himself in the upper room there in John 13. As soon as they get settled into the upper room, the very first thing Jesus did was wash his disciples' feet. Before he did any preaching, any teaching, he sat down and washed their feet. And he said, I did this to be an example. This is what I want from you. I want you to be servants one to another, as my disciples. Well, we're his disciples. And we're to be servants one to another. We're to be ministering one to another. We're to be that refreshing Christian, to look for opportunities to be a blessing to one another and a help. And when our friend stumbles, we love him and reach out. And again, maybe some admonition is necessary, but we don't turn our back. We seek him out. We minister to them, and we're not ashamed. That's what a refreshing Christian does. And this is what Jesus wants from every one of us. This is love in action, isn't it? This isn't just floaty love. This is the real deal. This is saying, I love my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I'm going to show that love by being a refreshing Christian to them. And how many times did Jesus say, he that is greatest among you shall be your boss. Is that what it says in the verse? No. He that is greatest among you shall be your servant. He that is greatest among you should be your minister. You know, even when he's speaking to the pastors there in 1 Peter 5. And yes, the pastors have authority in the church, but it says neither as being lords over God's heritage. In other words, don't That's not how to lead. Don't lead as a lord over the heritage, but lead as a servant. And it's all through the New Testament that this is what Christians are to be. So, we should set out with all of our strength to be a refreshing Christian to one another. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are grateful for your precious and powerful word, for speaking to us from it, Lord. And as we reflect on Onesiphorus and his beautiful example, Lord, may it be our desire to be a refreshing Christian, to look for opportunities to be a blessing to others, to minister to them, Lord, to help them, and to never be ashamed. And Lord, there might be someone in this room, they're not even sure they're a Christian yet. I pray that the Holy Spirit would work in that heart. And Lord, that they would realize that you love them so much that you were willing to die in their place and pay for their sins and rise again. And I pray they'd be willing to recognize that they are a sinner and come to you as their only hope, as their Savior, and accept Christ today and be born again and receive eternal life. Have your will and way in that heart. The rest of us, Lord, may we not just assent in our minds, but may we now agree with our actions that we're going to be that kind of a Christian, one that looks for opportunities to be a refreshment to other believers, to be that iron sharpening iron, to be that one that helps and not hurts. And I pray you'd have your will and way in our hearts as we sing this invitation hymn together. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.